Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's March 9, 2015, and this is episode 462. This week is the last part of a two-part series to walk you through a selection of photos from my second Snow Monkeys and Hokkaido tour for 2015. We pick up the trail on day 7 with one last Hooper Swan shot before the majestic sea eagles and a surprise visit from a northern fox. Towards the end of last week's episode, when I walked you through the first 12 of the photos from Tour 2, I mentioned that the swans often run along the water in front of the frozen part of the lake as they take off. And this is the photo that I was thinking of. And the unsteadiness of the water gives the swans an ungainly look as they splash along the water, gaining speed to take flight. Also, as I mentioned last week, I generally shoot panning shots like this between a 25th and a 40th of a second exposure. A 1/25th of a second exposure has a much higher failure rate for sharp heads, but can result in more aesthetically pleasing blurred shots. A 40th of a second, on the other hand, has a higher success rate, but less wing movement. This particular image was shot at a 30th of a second, so the head is slightly less sharp on close inspection, but beautiful wing movement is recorded. So it can be good, if somewhat risky, to just go a little bit slower with the shutter speed. Next is a fun shot that I made after breakfast on day 7 as we visited Sulphur Mountain for what is usually an apocalyptic scene with the volcanic fumaroles spewing sulfuric steam into the atmosphere. As it was so warm in Hokkaido for pretty much most of this winter though, it was too misty to do any more than a few close-up grab shots of the fumaroles, but I quite like this shot instead of two of our tour participants in the mist. I have a couple of frames in which the subject to the right is more prominent, but I really just like the minimalism here and just a hint of a second figure looking quite sinister to the left of the image. As we drove over to the fishing town of Naosu, where we would spend 3 days going out each morning to photograph the sea eagles, we took a look at a couple of locations where I know there to be Ural owls, but they were not on their nests this day. So we continued on after lunch to the Notske Peninsula. As warm as it has been, with temperatures floating around freezing point most days, I guess I shouldn't have been so surprised to see this, but it seems very strange to be able to see the amount of dried grasses and patches of dirt showing through that we can see in this photograph. It's usually just pure white snow plains out here, but as you can see, there's a lot of dirt and grass showing through. The Ezo deer are happy enough with the situation as they can start their spring eating a little bit early this year, and were often so busy with their feast that they wouldn't even look up for a photograph as we stalked them from the bus. On the road that runs along the thin fishhook-shaped strip of land that juts out into the sea on the coast of the east side of Hokkaido. We went out to photograph the sea eagles at dawn on all 3 mornings that we were in Naosu, and although the sea ice was very close to the shore on the first morning, high winds drove it out from our base in Naosu towards the Kunashiri Island on the other side of the Nemuro Strait from the second day. Still, we had 3 great mornings, with the middle shoot being a little bit slow. I'll share a few eagle shots from the second morning in a moment, but after our first morning in the Naosu area, we headed back out for a drive along the Notske Peninsula again. But shortly after we got there, I received a phone call from a friend to tell me that one of the Ural owls that we had gone to photograph the day before was currently on its perch. So we quickly headed back over that way to photograph this adorable avian. I often switch to portrait mode for these owls because that enables me to fill the frame with the tree trunk, but for this shot, I used landscape orientation and showed the edges of the tree to give the owl a little bit more context. And I thought that that worked pretty well here. And more than anything, I was happy that I'd been able to provide the group with an owl photo following the couple of no-shows on the previous day. Back to the sea eagles now though, and here's a photo of a Stella's sea eagle from our second dawn shoot with them. Here he's coming into land on the sea ice, and I just love the detail in his feathers here and those crazily cool talons and the pensive stare as he concentrates on his approach. The following morning, having found a good perch in the foreground for the eagles to sit on as the sun came up, we waited for the sun and the eagles to do just that, as we can see in this photo. The eagles generally just sit on these high perches of ice and seem to just really enjoy the sunrise as we do. But sometimes, as we can see here, they jostle for their position on these perches. And I was able to capture this particular jostle while the sun was still close to the horizon. One tip to keep in mind when shooting things like this is that once the birds are in front of the sun, autofocus generally gets all flustered and doesn't work until you see a more distinct silhouette, like in this photograph. If you are working from a boat like this, it's a good idea if you use the back AF button, autofocus button, on the camera to focus, and then you know you get focus while the birds are away from the sun, and assuming that you don't move any closer or further away from the subject, just don't press the AF button on the back of the camera again as the bird moves in front of the sun. If you do that, the focus can start to search and you'll miss your shot. Of course, you have to disable the focus from the shutter button as well, and this is a common way of setting up a camera for wildlife and sports photographers. I won't go into detail on this now, but if you're interested, let me know and I'll do an episode on that to just go through the merits and demerits. Another thing to remember at times like this too is try not to look at the sun through the lens too long. You'll end up doing it for a few seconds to get your image all lined up and composed nicely. But once you have your composition set and the lens focused, move your eyes slightly away so that the sun is obscured, at least partially, by the top of the viewfinder. This way, you can still see enough to maintain your focus and your composition without frying your eyeballs. Note too that this is only possible while the sun is very low in the sky. Once the sun rises more than you can see in this shot, it's very dangerous to look at it directly through your camera, especially with a long lens, and even when it's slightly obscured. Okay, so here's my messy sea ice shot. It's nice when we have sea ice, especially when it creates a nice and uniform background, as it did in the earlier eagle shot. It can be quite messy though, as you can see in this next photograph of a white-tailed eagle taking a fish from the sea. I can live with the messy sea ice in this shot though, as I just love the wavy shapes and lines in this image. The wave formed by the lower neck line of the neck of the eagle is almost mirrored by the arch of the water that the bird has kicked up as he drew the fish from the water. Of course, it's much easier to get a clean background by shooting the eagles in flight, as I did in this next image. We have the mountains behind Daosu in the background here, and I went in really tight with the new 100-400mm lens from Canon at 271mm. I could have pulled out further, of course, but sometimes I just really like to crop in tightly to capture the incredible detail of these magnificent raptors. Here's one last fun shot of the Stella's sea eagles before we move on. This is not a multiple exposure or anything like that. These three stooges had been sitting on a bit of sea ice, just chewing the fat, as they do of a morning, and they just decided that it would be fun to walk across this little chunk of ice to a larger piece, and I was lucky enough to capture the comical moment. After our third dawn shoot with the Eagles, we had some tough decisions to make as the weather was closing in on us again. If you remember from the previous episodes on Tour 1, there had been a major road closures across most of eastern Hokkaido, forcing us to stay in one hotel an extra night and preventing us from getting to Naosu for 2 days. We had brought the situation around by positioning ourselves to get in early enough on our second day to shoot the Eagles, and then we shot twice more on our last day. But it had been a difficult couple of days. Well, although we'd finished three great eagle shoots on Tour 2, if we moved on to Utoro, where we were to do some landscape work and, you know, the waterfalls, and then have a great last dinner, there was a good chance that we would not be able to leave Utoro on our last morning, forcing us to miss our flight home back to Tokyo. There was also a good chance that our flight on this side of the island would be cancelled, so it was decision time. We decided to change our plans and abandon our last night in Utoro in favour of travelling across the island to a different airport. So we changed our flights as well as our hotel for the last night. We did have enough good weather and time left to go through the pass to Shadi at the base of the Shiritoko Peninsula for lunch, though, and that also took us past the spot where we usually do some intentional camera movement shots of the birch trees, as we see here. We had a lot of ground to cover through the afternoon, though, to get to Kushiro and our new hotel, and to be in position for our newly arranged flight. Not wanting to spend the entire afternoon on the bus, we headed for the Mashu Lake, where we would have around 45 minutes or so to shoot before heading on. But then, just as we reached the area, we found this incredibly cute young northern fox just sitting at the side of the road, and he posed for us for about 15 minutes before we had to leave. We all got great photos of this young guy, but after we'd been there for a while, and I was shooting over the head of one of our participants, he got up and moved away, giving me his seat. Just as he did, the fox did this huge yawn, and although I wasn't quite lined up properly, I was already focused, and I got what was probably my favourite photo of the entire tour. I was a little annoyed that I'd got so much space above this little guy's head, but this is perfect space for the time and date on my iPhone lock screen, for example, and it will also be great for adding copy or on an ad or a magazine cover or something, for example. So I'm looking forward to getting this uploaded to Offset, the stock agency that represents my work. I'll share more of this little guy later, but I hope you like this shot. It's definitely one of my favourites. The last photography stop of the tour turned out to be Mashu Lake, as you can see in this photo. This is a beautiful spot, but now with only 30 minutes left, as we'd spent 15 minutes shooting the fox, we only had time for a bit of a fly-in visit before we had to continue on to Kushiro. We had some great local food in a quaint old bar that night, and then we woke the next morning to a cancelled flight, as the weather had closed in even earlier than expected. Yukiko, our tour conductor, worked her magic, and after about 90 minutes of phone calls and planning discussions with me, we decided to change our flights again and take a risk on driving over to yet another airport that still had some free seats on the next three flights and had not yet cancelled their first flight of the day, which was a good sign, as all of the other airports in the area were cancelling the flights as quickly as we could check on the availability. To cut a long story short-ish, we changed our plans and it panned out. And although We lost our afternoon on day 11 and the morning of day 12. We were repaid with some wonderful fox photographs and a bonus landscape shoot at Mashu Lake, and we still ended up back in Tokyo an hour earlier than planned, much to the relief of our guests who mostly had international flights to catch the following day. As usual, at the end of the trip, I went around the bus with my iPhone and recorded a brief message from each member of the group, which I'll play you now.
So we're heading out early to avoid a storm, but this basically, tomorrow morning we'll be on the plane, so we'll record this now. But this marks pretty much the end of the shooting. The Fox and Mashu Lake was the last shooting we'll really do, so we might as well get this recorded. I quickly want to say, I'll say it again, I'll say it as many times as I can, but I've really enjoyed travelling with you all. You've been a great group, and it's been a pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I'd like to just get a quick message from each of you as we near the end of the tour. So, Malcolm.
Hi. It's been an absolutely fantastic tour. Great photography, great tuition from Martin, superb support from Yukiko, and a super community to be with during this tour. Fantastic. I would love to do it again.
Okay, thanks, Malcolm. So, Bob, do you want to say a word or two?
Sure. Martin, it's been an outstanding trip. Excellent instruction and support from Kukiko, great subject matter, interesting companions, and a wonderful opportunity to experience Japanese food and custom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Goody from the UK. It's been a great trip. All expectations met, and a great team.
Hi, Marion from the UK. I've been privileged to travel to all seven continents, and this has been one of the best wildlife photographic trips we've ever been on. Can highly recommend it. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chris Wangard from St. Louis in the United States, and certainly would like to echo what the others have already said about the tour, but also would like to point out that everything went so smoothly because every part of the tour had a backup plan, and the backup plans had backup plans, so that we were always well taken care of and shooting and say no matter what came about and some of the craziness of weather and travel.
Hi, Bob Wangard from Sherman, Illinois in the United States. I've always wanted to see Japan. It was beyond my wildest expectations. I got to spend 2 weeks with my son, and the photography experience has been beyond my wildest dreams.
Valentino.
I'm Valentino Camandona from Italy. I joined last minute to this trip. I'm very glad. Thank you, Martin.
Okay, thank you.
Pete from Seattle. What a great photography experience and cultural experience as well. Thanks for exceeding my expectations. Bye.
I'm Cameron from Seattle in the United States. I particularly liked the unique wildlife experiences mixed with the traditional hotel experiences. It was wonderful. And Martin, you and Yukiko were just absolutely the icing on the cake. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Calvin Abe. I'm from Los Angeles, California. It's been a wonderful experience. This is my first return after 40 years, and it's been quite memorable. Martin, you have created really a new home for me. You were very gracious and very open about sharing your photographic knowledge, and I've gotten tremendous winter extraordinary photographs of wildlife that I probably would never have achieved. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome. Thanks very much.
Rich. Hi, Rich Dyson from the UK. It's been a fabulous couple of weeks, made possible by going to some fantastic locations. Martin puts us in really brilliant places where you can't fail to take great pictures. But then you also get Martin's knowledge, which is brilliant. He's always got time to share with you, and I've learned so, so much from this tour. So thanks very much, Martin. Cheers.
I'm Norm Larson from Santa Monica, California. My first experience with Martin Bailey, it was such a wonderful time. out here experiencing the wildlife as Martin knows so well. He shares so much of his knowledge of his own backyard in Hokkaido, Japan. So wonderful to experience his intimacy with the wildlife, his experience with his camera. The program is well-rounded beyond the photography. The travel experience was just beyond all my expectations. So I am signed up to come back next year and very happy to do so. Thank you, Martin.
I'm Martin Jasmin. I'm coming from Réunion Island in Indian Ocean. It's my first trip in Japan. I really enjoyed the photographic workshop. Martin was fantastic, and all the people in the group were very nice people. So it was my first trip in Japan, but probably not the last one.
Oh, it's lovely to see you again. Thank you.
So I'll have a quick walk down the front of the bus. Thank you very much for your kind and warm comments, everybody. I'm going to walk down to the bus and get a word from Yukiko, our tour conductor, who is the person that makes everything go so smooth.
Hello, I'm Yukiko. I'm from Yokohama, Japan. I try to appreciate all of my guests and their kindness and cooperation to me, and I want to appreciate for Martin's great leadership and great help. The Oikawa-san driver, great help to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So yeah, we're not forgetting Oikawa-san, our driver. So let's a round of applause for Oikawa-san. Yeah, Oikawa-san, arigato gozaimasu. So really, it's been an absolute pleasure traveling with you. A couple of hiccups, we got by nicely, and I think I'm happy with the way things ended up, and I hope you are too. And it would be lovely to see any of you again. I know that some of you are already talking about coming back. You know, really is it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming.
So you could probably hear Norm Larson in the background there saying MFB as we were finishing, and he basically renamed MBP to MFB, and I'll leave it up to you guys to think about what the F might stand for. But we had a lot of fun, and Norm actually in Japan, when you do tours, they put a plaque on the front of the bus so that people know when you stop in places where there's lots of buses, people know where to come back, which bus to come back to. And I always write MBP and then the Japanese for photography tour. And Norm took that and changed the MBP to MFB. And we did a great photo that Norm dreamt up of us all looking out of the front of the bus and pointing to this sign. I wish I could tell you what the F stands for, but I'd have to bleep it out, so you can probably guess from that. Anyway, that finishes the travelogue of our second Japan Winter Wildlife Tour for 2015. Note that, again, as I said last week, we are taking bookings for 2016 tours. We have been doing for a while now, though, so both tours are already almost full. We've got just a couple of places left on each one. So if you would like to join us, check out the tour page at mbp.ac/WW2016 and sign up sooner rather than later to secure your place on the Japan Winter Wildlife Tour of a Lifetime. So thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends, and if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.